We thank you, Father, standing as a body together, declaring that you are our everything, that we're nothing without you. But because we have you, God, we have absolutely everything that we need. That we look to you, God, for being our source of everything. Because if you are for us, God, who can be against us? Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 All right, you may be seated. Praise God. God is good, amen? You look good this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good. You're in the right place. Well, my name is Tyler Thompson, and I'm the children's pastor here at Word of Life Church. And when I'm not on the screens giving you the announcements, I'm serving with a great group of people known as the Dream Team. And we work with the first through fifth graders. We serve the first through fifth graders. And it is an honor to do that. Right now, they're in a series called I Am Healed, where they're learning all about what God's Word has to say about healing and how it applies to their life. And speaking for Little Life, which is our nursery and preschool, our kids area, which is first through fifth, and our youth, it's an honor to partner with the parents to help see their children become all that God's called them to be. And so we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for letting us partner with you. Today I wanted to share something that came out of one of our staff prayer times. During the week, at 9 o'clock every day, some of the staff would get together and pray for about 30 minutes. And during the staff prayer time, or during this particular time, we were praying and God put something on my heart. It was just three words. But as I took time, I went back and opened up my Bible to where I remember seeing those, and I prayed about it, and I just pursued it. And so after I did that, God showed me more. As I pressed in deeper, he showed me more. He tells us in his word, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And he was faithful to do that in this situation. So after I pursued that, it was like a seed. When God puts something in your heart like that, it's like he puts a seed in your heart, but it's up to you to water it. And when you do, he'll bring forth something that wasn't there before. So I encourage you, whenever God puts something on your heart, because it's something that he's always doing, take the time to pursue it and ask him to show you more. See what his word says about it and watch what he does in your life. Well, to start off, I want to share a story with you about my childhood. I was 8 years old and my family was taking a trip to the beach. I mean, you know, I was really excited because I was a kid and I was going to the beach. And when we got there at night. So after some short negotiations with my parents, it was decided that we wouldn't go on the beach until it was daytime. And so I complied with that. But then the next morning, I made it my job to make sure that everyone in the house was awake when the sun was up. I was the best alarm clock that day. And so I made sure everybody was up. I reminded them that we were at the beach, and I reminded them that, hey, we're going out to the beach today because you said it. And so as we got out there, my dad's out there, my mom and my sister, we were all out there having fun. My dad has the video camera, which got ruined that trip, but I mean, it was great. We're having fun. My dad decides to go inside, and so my mom and my sister decide to walk. And I had to make the choice that was going to keep me, not I had to, but you know, I had to make the choice that would keep me outside the longest. And so that choice was to go walk with my mom and my sister. And so after a few seconds, walking wasn't that amusing to me anymore. So I started to jog, but it's amazing just to think about it. That day when I made the effort to start jogging, the Eye of the Tiger started playing in my head. You guys know what I mean? I mean, I was just motivated to go faster and faster. And in that moment, I went from being an 8-year-old boy running on the beach with his family to being Rocky Balboa training to fight Apollo Creed. And the match was close, so I had to run fast and I had to train hard. And so I'm running on the beach and I'm punching in the air. I'm sure it looked professional being 8 years old. And so as I'm running, the distance between my mom and my sister and I is increasing. And so I'm running and my feet are hitting the waves. And I'm just thinking in my head, man, I bet my mom and my sister are impressed with how fast I'm running. I bet they're impressed with how far out I'm running. Little did I know that the sound of the Eye of the Tiger playing in my head and the way my feet hitting the waves were drowning out my mom's beckoning call for me to get back here and to stop because they were trying to catch up with me. And on the beach, when you're on the beach, as you move far away from things, you notice that, you know, they're hard to make out. And so by this point, I turned around and looked back, and my mom and my sister, I remember what color shirts they were wearing, they were dots on the beach. So I was far out, and I just decided to keep going because I was training. So as I was running, I see this figure on the beach that I saw earlier, and so as I got closer to it, I was able to make out what it was. And as I got closer to it, two words just came to mind, German Shepherd, and it was big, and it was ferocious. And it was coming after me. And so I like to think I saw it before it saw me because I turned around really fast and I ran as fast as I could back to my mom and my sister. And I mean, I was running because I thought any minute that German Shepherd's going to get me, it's just going to eat me or take me to the ocean or something. I was 8 years old. Had a big imagination. So I'm running and I get back to my mom and my sister who aren't impressed with how fast I was running. And they quickly helped me realize that. But I said, all right, okay. I was out of breath. I was like, there's a big dog back there. So if we keep walking this way, we could all be in danger. I thought I sounded professional. I was like, we could all be in danger. We need to move. And so as I told them this, it didn't change their mind. So we kept walking to where I'd seen the dog and it had chased me in that big situation that happened. So we keep walking. I'm like, all right, here it is. He's up here. So just keep your eyes peeled. Be ready. And I'm trying to be brave. Just a few seconds or a few minutes earlier, I had just ran from the dog. So we're getting closer, and I look, and I'm like, all right, see, there it is in the same spot. I mean, it was positioned like it was just protecting that part of the beach or something, like it owned that part of the beach. It was sitting up proud, you know. And so as we got closer, I was like, there it is. There it is. You see that big, ferocious pile of wood. I had ran from a pile of wood. So the problem was I had started off walking on the beach with my mom and my sister. And when you're on the beach, if you're not swimming, you can only go left or right. So I thought, since we're walking right, I just reasoned in my own head, hey, I can get there faster if we run. I was 8 years old. Kids don't think walk, slow down, and hold hands. They think run, jump, fight. You know, dive, like action, tag. And so I was thinking, I'm going to run. I'm going to have fun. And that Eye of the Tiger playing in my head didn't help either. But I went into my own reasoning to where I was thinking, you know what? I can get there faster. I got it from here. I can do this. And how many times has God shown us a glimpse of something? Or we see where God's trying to go. We kind of see what he's doing in our life. He's showing us a step, and we start off seeking him about it. Maybe there's a change he's bringing about in our life. Maybe there's a new season, or maybe we're believing him for something, and maybe we're in faith for something. And so we're reading our Bibles. We're taking time to spend it with him and to seek his face about things starting off, maybe for the first few weeks or 2 weeks or 1 week or maybe the first 3 days, and we're seeking him. But then somewhere along the way, we fall into going into our own reasoning. We jump into, oh, okay, I see where you're going. I can take it from here. I got it. And we lean to our own understanding. We lean to our own way of doing things. But what happens when we do that is we miss out. We get frustrated. Stuff doesn't work out the way we thought it was supposed to work out. There's a reason for that, because stuff's not supposed to work out the way we thought it was supposed to work out. When we're leaning to our own reasoning and our own understanding, it works out when God works it out with us. You see, God not only lays the plan out for us, but along the way, He has divine appointments that He wants us to experience that changes us along the way, to where by the time we make it to His plan and we fulfill His plan, which is a continuous thing, we look back and we see that we've totally been changed because of being obedient to God and because we've chosen to walk with God. You see, God's not a God who just goes ahead of us and prepares a plan and says, all right, I've done my part, go ahead. He not only goes ahead of us, He's a God that walks with us. Time and time again, He says, you know, fear not, for I am with you. I'm your God. And so when God desires to do something in our lives or the way that God's designed it, He wants us to be fully dependent upon Him. Like we sang earlier, like we declared earlier, you know, if I have you, I have everything. But without you, I'm nothing. It's truly a beautiful place. When you come to that place where you realize that you need to be fully dependent upon God. And it's not just you realizing that. That's where God really wants you to be. Where you're fully dependent upon Him. Because He is more than capable. And He is more than able to meet any need in any situation that you have. Because He's able. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us exactly how God wants us to live this life. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. In the Amplified, in other versions, it says, lean on Him, trust Him, rely on Him, and He'll direct your path. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. But what happens when you're not dependent upon Him, though, is you miss out. There's frustration. Things don't work out. And when I think about missing out, I think about going to the fair. How many of you all have been to the fair before? The one we have locally. Well, at the fair, one thing that I'm sure to do every time is go by this wonderful stand that gives away free biscuits. You know what I'm talking about, the free biscuits. Not just a free biscuit, but I mean, it's the biscuit that has the honey, the hot honey, or the hot syrup, whatever it is. It just makes it really, really good. And I remember the first time I went, it stuck with me because I make sure I visit them every time I go to the fair, every time the fair's in town. Some people go for the rides, I go for the biscuit. So if you're with me and we go to the fair and you stick with me when I go to that part of that particular part, you're going to get a biscuit. You may even get two because sometimes I like to make a second trip. But if you are not with me, when I go to that stand, when I visit the biscuit stand, you're going to miss out. And you don't want to miss out on this biscuit. It's good. It's hot. It's just the right texture. And it's the same way if we choose, when we choose to stick with God, when we choose to lean upon Him and trust in Him, we experience, we not only fulfill His plan, but we experience these things that He set aside for us along the way. They're like extras, but really, they help us become who He's called us to be. So it's all a part of His plan anyway. And so whenever God does something great, whenever God's power is shown, whenever He desires to do something in our lives or use us to do something, there's always two roles. It's a partnership. It's us working with God. And today I want to spend the rest of our time talking about what those two roles are, because when you know those roles, you get to see the goodness and the power of God in your life. And so the first role, we see in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, if you'd open up your Bibles with me, let's all look at this story together. In Numbers chapter 13, you have the Israelites. They've just been freed from Egypt. God's just delivered them from Egypt. He's shown Himself strong and delivered them from years of slavery. And they're on the brink of going into the promised land. Well, only thing is, there's a lot of complaining and murmuring and complaining and murmuring and complaining and murmuring going on. So God asked Moses to send, God doesn't ask him, God tells him to send 12 spies into the promised land so that they will see the things that God said he set aside for them. They're there. So God tells Moses, Moses sends 12 spies, and these 12 spies go into the promised land. And so as they're going through the promised land, they're going through to see what the land is like, what the fruit is like, and they're also going to see what the people are like. That's what Moses told them to go see. So they're going through the promised land, and they're looking, and they're seeing these different people. They're seeing the Amorites and the Jebusites. They're seeing all the people that are already there. They're seeing these walled cities and things like that. And the promised land, which was Canaan, was full, was a land full of fruit. And I mean, the soil was so fertile, and it was there was all types of resources that the Israelites would need to start a new life. And so they're seeing this. These 12 spies are seeing this. But then they come to this place called Hebron. And in Hebron, they're looking out and they see these three men. But these three men are not average-sized men. These three men are giants. And so 10 of these spies quickly take note of this. And I believe that's the only thing they were thinking about the rest of the trip. So they see these three giants and they make a mental note of it. And as they're moving through this place called Hebron, they come to this brook. And I won't try to pronounce the name. The translation, though, is called, it's the Brook of Cluster. So there's lots of grapes growing in this place. And these grapes were huge. Some say they're supposed to be the size of plums. That's a big grape. So they decide to cut some of these grapes off to take it back to the people to show Moses, hey, you know, the land is fertile as God has said. And so they take a staff. They put this huge cluster of grapes on the staff. It takes two men to carry it back. As they carry it back, they come to the people. They stand up before the people, kind of like I'm standing up here before you today. And they say, all right, this is what we have. The promised land, yes, it is flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the fruit is great. Yes, you know, there's rivers and streams and everything we need to have a new life. And he could have stopped there, but they keep going on. 10 spies, they say this. But I don't think we're going to do this. I think we need to change the plans because there are men throughout that's the promised land, and they are ferocious, they are strong, they are vicious, kind of like that pile of wood I ran from. They are vicious, and to top all that off, there are giants everywhere. I don't think we can do it. And so by this time, all the people are freaking out, and so Caleb stands up, and in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, Caleb says, he steals the people and says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Everybody say able. Caleb says, we're able to overcome it. But as Caleb did that, I just imagine him, you know, putting his fist in the air, but nobody responding to that. And as soon as Caleb says that, because Caleb was one of the spies that went in, one of the other spies stands up and says, no, we are not able. We are not strong enough. We can't do this. You're crazy, Caleb. Joshua, another spy who was with those 12, he stands up as well. We see his words in Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. It says, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Joshua said, hey, guys, we should not be afraid. God, you know, the God who's brought us this far, he's still with us. So it's a piece of cake to him. That's literally what he said. He said it's a piece of cake to him. And Joshua and Caleb, they knew their role. And because they knew their role, they were able to lead a group of Israelites into the promised land and inherit the promised land. When they got into the promised land, sure, there were armies already there. But each and every battle they fought, God delivered them and gave them the victory. And each and every one of them got to inhabit the land and experience what God had already promised him. Now, there were 10 spies and a lot of the other children of Israel who didn't get to make it into the promised land because of their unbelief, because they didn't know their role. They missed out. And if God is involved in it, I do not want to miss out. And I know no one in here wants to either. So that's why I want to talk about what our role is. Our role can be found in Isaiah 1:19. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, "If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." He puts it simply there. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Not you might, not maybe, not we'll see, but you will eat the good of the land. And so when we're willing, when we submit and we show that willingness with obedience, there's no doubt about it. There's no question. We're going to experience the good of the land and what God has for us. Now, the good of the land for the Israelites then was fruit. It was fertile soil. It was trees. It was the rivers. It was the resources that they needed to survive and start a new life. Not just survive, but start a new life. And it wasn't just enough to start a new life and then they were going to have to do something on their own or figure it out by themselves. It was they were going to have an abundance of it, unlimited resources in their lives. Now, the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't know about you, but milk and honey is not at the top of my list of things I want in my life in abundance right now. So what the milk and honey is for us, what the good of the land is for us, is the grace of God and the favor of God in abundance. How many of you would say, I could use a little bit more grace in my life, a little bit of favor? Not just a little bit, though, I'm sorry. In abundance, that means in great supply. The grace and the favor of God in abundance in our life. And if we want to see that in our life, it just takes us knowing our role. Everybody say, know your role. And our role, just like we see in Isaiah 1:19, is to be willing. Now, our willing looks different from Joshua's, you see, because it was a different time. There are different things that God asked Joshua to do that he necessarily wouldn't ask us to do today. Like, God had Joshua take out his sword and fight a few battles, and God had Joshua march around a wall and shout. I haven't had God lead me, haven't had that impression by God for me to take out a sword and start going to war or to march around a building and shout. Maybe in church, but you know what I mean. Not around it on the outside to watch it fall down. So our willing looks a little bit different. Our willing could be maybe God's asking you to get up just a little bit earlier and just spend time with him. Maybe your willing, the willing that God has given you, is to just take some time seeking his face a little bit more. Or to say what he says. Maybe his willing is for you to confess and say what he says about you. To take time to get your confession up. Or maybe his willing is for you to put down your phone or to take a break from social media, which we could all use a break sometimes. But to take a break from those things so he can speak to you. And you'll find that when you do your part, when you do your willing, what God's asking you to do, he shows up and he does his part. Now, when it comes to God's part, we're to be aware of it, but we're not to be in charge of it. Because we couldn't be in charge of it if we wanted to or if we tried over and over again. Because he reminds us that his ways are higher than our ways. That his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That we would hurt ourselves trying to do what he does. We couldn't if we tried. And so, God's role can be found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Would you turn there with me? Now, our role is to be willing, and God's role is this. It says, and God is able. We could stop right there. But there's more. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And abound just means that having great quantity. You have a great supply. You have a lot of. And then I like what the Amplified says. The Amplified gives a little bit more details. It says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Basically, God's part is to make sure you got what you need, when you need, and a lot more, and more than enough of what you need, so that you can give it away. Now, our part is to be willing, and God's part is to be able. Our role is to be willing, His role is to be able. Everybody say, God is able.
God is able.
I encourage you, and I promise it will help if tomorrow and throughout the rest of this week, you just wake up and remind yourself of that. If you woke up and the first thing you said was, God is able. Knowing that God is able. And just get a revelation of who He is in your life. And knowing, like in that song we declared, you know, if I have you, I have everything. When you wake up with God, you have everything. Right now, sitting there, you have everything. Because God is able. And He's with you. Partnership. All right. Our role is to be willing. God's role is to be able. And we never have to doubt if God's going to carry out His role. You don't have to double check on God. You don't have to micromanage God because God has got His. He can do it. God is able. He was there from the beginning. He's going to be there in the end. Time and time again, He's shown Himself faithful. He's able. Everybody say, God is able. Now, we know that our role is to be willing and God's role is to be able, but now we got to realize, or we got to know our roles, and we have to keep from mixing those roles up. Everybody say, know your role. Now, when I think about knowing your role, I think about one of my old teammates. And I'm just going to change his name, but one of my old teammates, we're going to say Kenny, all right? I played basketball in junior high, and Kenny was one of my teammates. And it was our first game of the season. Now, I'm not sure how long Kenny had played basketball up until this point, but I know he had made it to all the practices, and he had heart, and he had potential. So during the first game, you know, Kenny's there. He's not starting. He's sitting on the bench. But during the first game, that's where the coach kind of sees who's going to start and who's going to not start and who's going to just provide their or supply their support while the other rest of their team's playing. You guys know what I mean? The game's going on, and we're losing bad. It's not going good at all. It's got to the point where we have to find the good in the little things. Like if our teammate steals a ball or if they miss, we're cheering. That's how bad it was. This team we were playing was good. I mean, they had one shooting guard who all he had to do was just step across half court, jump up, and he could shoot a three. And it almost wasn't fair. So as the game is coming to a close, the coach is just, you know, letting people go in just to see their potential. And one of those people is Kenny. And so Kenny goes in, and we're all excited, you know. Like I said, we're finding the joy in the little things. So we're all cheering for him. And so Kenny gets in, and Kenny's a post player because he was tall. And so as Kenny's in there, the opposing team comes down. The guy pulls up and shoots, and something miraculous happens. He misses it. And when he misses it, we see these hands go up and grab the ball, and it's Kenny, and we're all cheering. We're going crazy. We're shouting his name. And as soon as he comes down with the ball, mind you, you know, they were coming to shoot on our goal. And so what Kenny's supposed to do is supposed to take the ball, look for the point guard, look for a shooting guard, turn, and pass it out. But Kenny doesn't do that. Kenny gets this look in his eye. He grabs the ball. He sticks his tongue out like Michael Jordan, and he turns to the goal, but it's our goal. And Kenny pulls up, and he shoots on our goal. Kenny didn't know his role, but fortunately, our center, who was our starting center, he knew his role. And so he got one of the best blocks of the season at that moment. It was great for the center, but not for Kenny. Kenny didn't know his role. We still cheer for him. But it's important that we know our role. When it comes to knowing your role and not getting those mixed up, because how many of you know when we try to do God's part, it doesn't work out like that. Because God's role is to be able and our role is to be willing. I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to India last year with some of the guys on staff and some of our dream team. And so when we went there, one of the things that we got to do was we got to speak in the Bible school. And I was excited because they had asked me to speak in the Bible school on children's ministry. And just a little bit about me, apart from just being the children's pastor, I feel like it's something God's called me to do, is to minister to kids and young people and just help them see what God has for them and help them be all that God has called them to be. It's just a passion of mine. I know I'm called to do it. So in order to be a good steward of that gift, I take time to read books, and I'm reading magazines, and I'm calling other churches, and I'm going to conferences, and I'm getting a mentor, and I'm going through outlines and stuff. And so I have all this information compiled, and I have it with me. And so I stand up there, and I'm just thinking in my mind, man, I got this. This is going to be good. I'm going to motivate all these people to go into children's ministry. You know, they may have wanted to be missionaries, may have wanted to do this and that. They're all going to want to do children's ministry. So I get up there, and I introduce myself. I have my translator over here. I have my notes laid out. I have my iPad, you know, and I'm scrolling to where I'm supposed to be. I have everything ready, and I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And it was everything but that. It was bad. It was really bad. In the sense of, it was dry. You know that term, dry. You can tell something's dry. Like if you ever eaten a piece of turkey and it's dry, you know it's dry. It's not a good experience. Well, multiply that times 10 and you got what was happening at this moment. It was dry. It was bad. I mean, I felt sorry for them because they had to listen to me. And I mean, I was like, what's going on? And I'm sitting here listening to the words come out of my mouth and thinking, when is this going to be over? When is the clock going to go so I can just run out of here? And I'm thinking, this thing that was supposed to be encouraging is discouraging. I'm like, none of them are going to want to do children's ministry, even if they wanted to at first. And I'm like, man, this is bad. It was like, it was bad, really bad. It's like cutting a lawn with a pair of scissors bad. It was bad. So as soon as it's over, and we get transported to where we're staying that night, I get on. I'm like, God, you saw that. What happened? That was bad. It was discouraging. It's like, God, I just pray for grace for those people that they don't change their minds if they're supposed to be doing children's ministry, because I did not set a good example. As soon as I got done talking, you know, because God's a gentleman, he was like, you didn't let me do my part. Whoa, ever had that one of those moments? Wow, my bad. I had to repent. It's like, God, I am sorry. I won't do that again. I don't want to put anybody through that again. Forgive me, God, for doing that and for putting them through it. I said, I repent. So fortunately, the next day, I got to stand up there and speak to the same group of people. And I took time to make sure that I was doing my part, to make sure that I was being willing. And when I did that, it was a night and day difference. It was one of the easiest things I'd ever done. And when you allow God to do his part, he doesn't just do it. It's like he kind of shows out. And what I mean by that is, as I was speaking to these students, I wasn't just able to see these students, but it was like God was showing me the people that they were going to impact, the people that they were going to talk to, whether it be youth ministers, youth that they were going to talk to, whether it be missionaries, the countries and the people that they were going to talk to. And as I was talking, I saw my words going, are the words that God was speaking through me, go to them. And it was like he was showing me that what he was starting and what he was working on. Because when I showed my part, when I did my part, God did his part, and he did it really well. Because God is able. You see, the Israelites, those 10 spies, they had it mixed up. They said, we are not able. We are not strong enough. We cannot do this. They were right, because it wasn't their job to be able. because God is able. Joshua had it right. Joshua knew what his role was. He said, guys, we are able because we are not just we, it's us and God. That's the we. And he's with us. You know, the same God that's been doing all these things for us, he's with us. We just got to do our part. But those 10 spies didn't want to listen to that. They had the roles mixed up. And because they had the roles mixed up, they missed out. They didn't get to see the good of the land. They didn't get to see the promised land that God had for them. Joshua knew his role. He knew that God had given them the promised land, and it was God's part to be able. The cool thing about that was Joshua knew that it was the promised land, that you can't promise what you don't possess. It's something that God had already given to him. And when he showed himself willing, God showed himself able every time. So how do we make sure we don't fall into that category of those 10 spies? How do we make sure we don't fall into that trap of, God, I see, you know, I'm believing you for to pay this bill or to handle this debt. But, you know, okay, if I do this and withhold that and I do this, we get into looking at ourselves instead of looking at God. Things get messed up. And so how do we keep from falling into that trap? We do what Joshua did. You see, Joshua was a part of the children of Israel. And Joshua was there when God delivered an entire nation from a legacy of slavery. And Joshua was there when God, in an instant, destroyed an entire army while also parting a body of water and allowing 5 million people to go through. He saw and he remembered the past faithfulness of God. He remembered that. And because he remembered that, that kept him in his role. Okay, my role is to be willing. If God tells me to take out my sword, I'm going to take out my sword. If God tells me to take more time to seek him, I'm going to seek him. If God tells me to put down my phone, I'm going to put down my phone. The second thing that Joshua did was he held on to the promises of God. I like how David said it. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Joshua had that down. He knew and he had heard, okay, we're going to the promised land. God's given this to us. It won't be a struggle. God may ask me to be willing at times, and it may seem challenging to me, but my role is to just be willing. And God's going to, he's already given us this land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that he's already called or set aside for us to inhabit. So I'm holding on to that promise. I'm holding on to that he is with us. And he's walking with us each and every step of the way. I'm holding on to that. And that's what Joshua did. And because he did that, because he remembered the past faithfulness of God, because he held on to the promises of God, he was able to stay in his role. He was able to stay willing. He was motivated to do that. And in our own lives, if we were to take time, just take a few minutes of our day and write down just some of the things, not all of them, but just some of the things that God has done for us and some of the victories that he's brought into our life, whether people know about them or not, whether they were in ourselves or it was a stronghold in our own lives or in our own thought life we were trying to defeat, we would see where God brought us through those things. And undoubtedly take time to thank him for them, but we would see and remember those things. So we got to remember the past victories that God has brought us in our own life. Things that he's brought us through. And then we got to take time every day, to be mindful of the promises that he has for us. Because when we do those two things, we stay in our role, and we know our role, which is to be willing, then God does his part, which is to be able. When we're willing and obedient and God does his role, we eat the good of the land. We see his grace in our life like never before. We see his abundance in our life like never before. We see him move and work in our lives in ways we couldn't have even imagined. Ephesians 3:20 says, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Some versions say imagine. God's got his part. But it's up to us to be willing, because when we are willing, God is able. Would you bow your heads with me? We wouldn't want you to leave today without being able to have an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. If that's you and you know you need to make a decision to have and to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. That's it. Just raise your hand. If you know that today you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just raise your hand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is between you and God. I'm going to have everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. They're gone. They're gone. All things have become new. Lord Jesus, you've forgiven me of every sin, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. I know my role, and I know your role. As I am willing, you are able. In Jesus' name, amen.